Smoke, Joey, Cal, and Pearly were having lunch at the hotel, celebrating their victory over the Murdoch brothers, when Ben Tolson walked up, a worried look on his face.
Pull up a chair and join us, Ben.
Hey, compadre. You look like someone shot your house. Anything the matter?
Yeah. Sam Murdoch's over at the Silver Dollar getting alkalied. He's shooting his mouth off about how he's gonna make sure none of you live to set foot on the Williams Ranch.
Huh. Oh, that's just whiskey talk. He's too smart to try something like that.
Mm-mm, you got it wrong, Joey. Jacob Murdoch's the smart one. Sam's an idiot. He's just liable to try and make good on his threats.
Well, Ben, what do you suggest we do about it? I'm not about to give the ranch back.
How about you and your men coming over to my cabin? I mean, you could stay out there until the papers for the ranch are ready. It'd at least get you out of town and out of Sam's sight.
No, that wouldn't exactly be a good idea, Ben. Think on it a minute. Long as we're here in town, anything Sam and his brother will do will be seen by a lot of people.
Joey's right, Ben. If we go out to your place, either of the Murdochs could hit us and later claim it was done by someone else, or even that we started the trouble. Nah, I think the best thing for us to do is to stay right here in Pueblo.
I tell you what, partner. You could help us by spreading the word around to your friends to kind of hang around town the next day or so and observe what goes on. That way, if Murdoch is dumb enough to call us out or try and ambush us, there'd be plenty of your friends that can vouch for us.
You're right. I just hadn't thought it through. I'll tell everyone I can count on to be honest to keep a sharp eye out. Oh, I'll be around too, just in case you need an extra gun or two.
We don't intend to get you involved in our troubles, Ben.
I told you before, Smoke, I won't stand for vigilante justice or for innocent people getting gunned down in my town. Even if they're not quite as innocent as they claim.
Cal, Pearly, I want you to be extra careful. Keep your guns loose and loaded up 6 and 6, and watch each other's back. Don't let Murdoch or his men goad you into making the first move. Joey, what about the men you hired for the ranch? Can we count on them if worse comes to worse?
No, I don't think so, Smoke. They're ready to do whatever I ask them, but they're punchers, not shootists. I wouldn't want any of them to get hurt on my account.
Okay, then. That means it's just the four of us. 5 if we count Ben. I hear Murdoch has at least 10 deputies, though I don't know how many will follow his lead in this.
Have you seen them, Smoke? They look like he hired them out of a jail. They ain't one of them I trust to walk my dog.
You ain't got a dog, Cal.
He's right, Smoke. We gotta figure they all gonna be against us if push comes to shove.
If we get in a gunfight, I don't want to stand next to Cal. The bullets just seem to seek him out.
You and Cal go up to our rooms and bring down Joey's Greener and my American Arms Express guns and some shells. If we have to shoot into a crowd, there's less chance of some innocent bystanders getting killed if we use the scatter guns. I hate that I've gotten those two mixed up in this. It isn't their fight.
Yes, it is, Smoke. They ride for you, and you're riding against Murdoch. So they's against Murdoch, too. It's a matter of their honor, just as it is ours. When you ride for a brand, you also ride for the man behind the brand.
It's more than that with Cal and Pearly. Since my children have been in Europe with Sally's family, those two have become like my own kin.
I know. And I know they can look on you as they would their own pa. But when it comes time to stand up and be a man, you can't hold them back.
Cal and Pearly returned then, carrying the shotguns. Both were short-barreled, enabling them to be held and fired almost like pistols. Smoke and Joey took the guns and each put a handful of shells in their pockets.
Time we quit hiding in this hotel and step outside to see what Murdoch has planned.
Ben Tolson entered the room then, carrying his own Greener.
Looks like bad news, boys. Sam Murdoch and his men are all out on the street, hanging around the boardwalk, just waiting for you to come out.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. And he's told the townspeople to get off the street, that he's going to arrest you for murdering those two men in the saloon the other night.
That'll never stand up in court.
Murdoch don't plan to ever let it come to trial. If you let him take you to jail, you'll be dead before dawn.
Okay. If that's the way he wants it, that's the way it'll be. Everyone ready?
All nodded, and the five men walked through the hotel door and out into the Colorado sunshine. side by side, pistols loose and shotguns cradled in their left arms so the right hands were free. Smoke saw Murdoch step out into the street to his left, three of his men with him. He glanced to the right, where another seven men were standing on the boardwalk, watching with hands near pistols.
Joey and I'll take Murdoch and the men with him. You three take the gents to the right if they join in.
Murdoch held up his left hand, his right held low by his pistol.
Hold it right there, Jensen. I'm arresting you and Wells for the murder of two men in the saloon. Throw down your guns and come peacefully.
Murdoch, you're a liar. You know that fight was in self-defense, and so do the people of this town.
Don't matter none what the people of this town think. I'm the sheriff, and I say you're under arrest. You're gonna throw down your guns, or am I gonna have to kill you?
If he grabs iron smoke, you put one in his heart, and I'll put one between his eyes. Then we'll kill everyone with him who tries to draw on us.
The color just drained from Murdoch's face, and he glanced nervously behind him at the three deputies standing there.
You men don't have a chance. I've got you outnumbered, 3-1.
Tolson stepped up next to Smoke and Joey.
2-1, Murdoch.
I'm standing with them.
2-1 makes it about even, I'd say. Of course, it don't matter what the odds are, because you're going to get the first two slugs, Murdoch. You'd be dead before the smoke clears.
Oh, wait a minute.
Either make your play, you sniveling coward, or throw down that badge and crawl on home to your big brother.
That was too much for Murdoch, coward though he was. He slapped leather. Before his gun moved an inch, both Joey and Smoke had their Colts out. The three deputies moved to grab iron, a lifetime too late. The seven men to the right all grabbed for their guns. Tolson leveled his greener. Cal's and Pearly's fists were full of iron in an instant. Of the five remaining men, three managed to clear leather and get off some shots.
Shit!
Despite a wound, Pearly kept firing. Cal emptied his right hand Colt Navy. He drew his other left-handed. He and the last standing deputy fired simultaneously. The street was heavy with the smell of gun smoke and blood. Ears rang. Smoke and Joey, untouched, looked to see how their compatriots were doing.
Oh, shit.
Smoke saw Pearly's face covered with blood and Cal lying unmoving on the ground. Tolson was standing, eyes wide, not a mark on him. Smoke bent over Cal while Joey turned Pearly around to see where the blood was coming from. He removed Pearly's hat, and he saw a neat groove down the side of his head just above his ear, where a bullet had gouged his scalp. Joey pursed his lips as he removed his bandana and placed it against the laceration.
Looks like you stood too close to Cal, Pearly.
Yeah, how it...
Pearly's face dropped, and he quickly knelt next to Smoke and grabbed Cal by the cheeks.
Oh, Cal, don't you die on me.
Smoke slipped his bowie knife out and slit Cal's shirt, peeling the blood-soaked fabric away from his chest. Just below his rib cage was a small, neat hole. Smoke rolled him over, and where the slug exited was a wound as big as a fist, oozing blood. Joey pushed Pearly out of the way and bent to examine the wound.
I don't see no guts nor smell any shit.
Joey raised his eyes to look at Smoke, who had tears coursing down his cheeks.
If the slug missed his bowels, he's gonna be all right. Get the doc over here pronto, boy, and maybe your friend will live.
While the undertaker was still picking up bodies off the street, Ben Tolson called an emergency meeting of the town council. Pearly told Smoke and Joey to go on and attend the meeting. He would stay by Cal's side while the doctor stitched up the hole in his back. Now, the doctor stuck a needle in Cal.
Oh, it's your own damn fault, Cal. If you didn't have such an attraction for lead, you wouldn't be lying here moaning, groaning.
You okay, partner?
Yeah. Except I wish the doctor would hurry up and get you back together. I'm getting hungrier by the minute.
When he's done, I'll buy you some lunch to make up for bringing all those bullets our way.
Your own, partner.
Meanwhile, at the council meeting, Tolson stood before the mayor and businessmen.
Now that Sam Murdoch and his men are dead, I've got evidence that they threatened a number of people before the last election.
Tolson held up a stack of papers.
I have over 100 signatures on this affidavit that men were told they'd be killed if they campaigned or voted for me.
The mayor nodded in agreement.
I've heard the same thing. In light of this new evidence, I make a motion that pending a new election next month, we ask Ben Tolson to once again assume the duties of Sheriff of Pueblo. All in favor?
Aye!
Motion passes unanimously. Mr. Tolson, you are now Sheriff of this city.
Now, before I take the job, I want to make sure I have the complete support of the council and can do whatever I deem necessary to make this city safe for all citizens.
That will not be a problem, Sheriff.
Ben stood and pinned on the star that Murdoch had been wearing. The one with a bullet hole through the center, still covered with the dead man's blood.
My first official act will be to appoint Smoke Jensen and Joey Wells as deputy sheriffs.
This was news to Smoke and Joey.
Then, I'm going to post the town as a gun-free zone. All weapons to be checked upon entering the city limits. And next, I'm posting the town off limits to any employees of the Lazy M Ranch, including Jacob Murdoch.
Oh, can we do that?
I'm the sheriff. I can do whatever I want.
Ben, you're right. You and the town can do whatever you want. But I don't think Murdoch is going to take this lying down. Murdoch has over 30 hard cases working for him. And know this. If you try to shut him out of town, he's liable to fight. If the town isn't ready to back Ben's play with your guns and perhaps your lives, you better let him know now.
Smoke's right. As soon as I post the town, it's going to be like waving a red flag in front of a bull. We can expect trouble, and probably sooner rather than later.
Well, I, for one, am tired of living under Murdoch's thumb. This was a decent, law-abiding town before he moved here and took over the Lazy M. I would like for it to be that way once again. And if it takes the blood of good men for that to happen, then so be it. Go and do what you think is necessary, Sheriff.
I'll post the town tonight, and I'd like you to call a town meeting first thing in the morning, Mr. Mayor. We'll need to get the people ready for what is almost sure to happen next.
That night, over supper in the hotel dining room, Tolson met with Smoke and Joey. Cal and Pearly were also present. Other than looking pale and drawn, and occasionally taking a nip from the bottle of laudanum the doctor had given him, Cal seemed to be doing okay.
Well, all my previous deputies have agreed to come back to work, and I've hired another 5 who I know are handy with long guns. Altogether, that gives me 15 men, counting you 4.
What are your plans for sealing up the town?
I haven't had time to give it much thought.
Joey, you've had some experience in getting in and out of garrisons in the past. Any suggestions?
We need some warning when Murdoch's men are coming. I'd post a couple of sentries 3 or 4 miles out of town on the main roads from the Lazy M. I don't think Murdoch would be expecting much resistance, so I doubt if he'd go to the trouble of circling around and coming in on our backside.
Tolson nodded and began to make some notes on a scratch pad with a pencil.
Second, I'd post a man at every entrance to the city with a big fire bell in case Murdoch's men get by the sentries for one reason or another.
What about placement of men in the town?
No question about it. The best place for your men with long guns and scatter guns is on the roofs. I'd have most of your men on both sides of the street about every 2 or 3 buildings. They'd have a clear field of fire and they'd be hard to hit from horseback with pistols.
Anything else?
Yeah. At the meeting in the morning, I'd tell all them women folk and kids to stay off the streets for the next couple of days. The way you're putting the pressure on and screwing it down tight, I don't expect it'll take Murdoch long to make his play.
That's right. Without being able to buy supplies, he can't afford to wait too long.
You know, one other thing. I'd hold off posting the town against firearms until this is over. I'd warn every citizen to carry a shotgun or a pistol, even those that don't know how to use them. If there's enough lead flying around, some of it's bound to hit somebody. Hopefully Murdoch and his men.
Whew. This could turn out to be a bloodbath, couldn't it?
Well, it's your town. You gotta decide if it's worth fighting for or not.
Just then, one of Tolson's deputies came running into the hotel dining room.
Hey, boss. Jacob Murdoch and some of his men are riding into town.
Time to let Murdoch know who's running the show now.
The group went outside to stand in the twilight in front of the hotel. Murdoch reined in his horse and sat looking down at Tolson and the men behind him.
I hear Jensen and Wells gun down my brother in cold blood.
Murdoch's eyes flicked over to Smoke and Joey, who stared back at him. Then, he noticed the star on Tolson's chest.
You the sheriff now, Tolson?
Yeah.
Well, what are you gonna do about it?
Nothing. It was a fair fight, and your brother drew first.
I just saw his body. His pistol was still in leather.
I said he drew first. I didn't say he drew faster. He made his play and got killed for it. That's all there is to say on the matter.
That's not all I got to say on it.
I shot your cowardly brother right between the eyes, Murdoch. If you or anyone else has anything to say about it, I'm ready.
Let me kill this cabacho, Mr. Murdoch.
Not now, Emilio. They got us outnumbered. You in for now, Tolson. I'm gonna pick up my brother's body and take it out to the ranch. But I'll be back tomorrow with more men.
You'd better come prepared for a fight, Murdoch. I'm posting Pueblo off limits to you and your men. The only way you're gonna get into town is to blast your way in.
That the way you want it, Tolson?
That's the way it is, Murdoch. Now get your brother and get your trash out of my town.
I'm gonna tree this town, Tolson, and you with it.
The town meeting the next morning went as expected. Smoke stood up to address the citizens.
People of Pueblo, it's time for you to take a stand against the tyranny of Jacob Murdoch. He and his men are planning to try and take your town away from you and force you to live under his thumb. Let me say this. Nobody has ever treed a western town. Nobody. Nearly every man in this town is a combat veteran of some war, whether it was against Indians, outlaws, the Union Blue, or the Rebel Gray. Back in September of 76, Jesse James and his outlaw gang tried to collar Northfield, Minnesota. They were shot to rags by the townspeople. Your sheriff and I expect no less of you!
Sentries were posted on roads leading to town and at each entrance to the city, with fire bells nearby, as Joey had suggested. Men with rifles and guns were on roofs, ready for whatever Murdoch had planned. By noon, the city resembled a ghost town, with no one on the streets other than Tolson and his men. Businesses were locked and barricaded, owners sitting vigil with weapons ready. At each entrance to the city limits, two wagons were lashed together with ropes, ready to be pulled across to block the streets after the outlaws were within the town. The killers would be able to ride in, but getting out alive was going to be next to impossible. It was 1:30 in the afternoon when a sentry from the north side of town came galloping down the street in a cloud of dust.
They're coming! They're coming!
Smoke, Joey, Cal, and Pearly joined Tolson on the street.
How many?
Looks like over 30 men, all wearing bandanas over their faces, and they're all carrying rifles and shotguns loaded for bear.
Get to your places, man!
Smoke and Joey went to the opposite side of the street and crouched down behind water barrels stacked there for that purpose. Cal and Pearly jumped into the back of a buckboard and lay flat, peeking over the sides.
You sure you want in this wagon with me? You know how I track bullets.
Somebody's got to be here to plug the holes in your hide so you won't bleed to death. Might as well be me. Besides, if I let you get killed, Miss Sally probably never making bear sign again.
Within 5 minutes, the bandits arrived. As soon as they were inside the city limits, wagons at either end were pulled across the streets behind and before, trapping the killers between them. Smoking Joey stood, ignoring the slugs passing all around them, and began to fire into the crowd of riders with deadly accuracy. Tolson stepped out of his doorway and let loose with both barrels. Cal and Pearly were firing rapidly. Gun barrels glowing a dull red, spitting gun smoke and flame. A rider came thundering down at Joey and Smoke out of the dust, an Apache tomahawk raised high like a sword ready to swing. Smoke and Joey both pulled triggers, hammers falling on empty chambers. Joey didn't hesitate. He threw down his pistol and ran toward the rider. He took a giant leap up onto a hitching rail as he ran and catapulted himself forward into the rider's body. The Apache pulled his mask down and grinned as he raised his tomahawk for a fatal blow. He was one of the group that had attacked Joey's ranch. Joey crouched and pulled his Arkansas toothpick from its scabbard on the back of his belt. As the tomahawk came down, he parried the blow with his knife. Joey rushed inside the Apache's defense. Joey twisted the blade and jerked it upward, ripping the engine's chest open and tearing his heart out. By the time Joey and Smoke ran back down the alley to the main street, the gunfire had begun to die down, and most of the raiders were killed or blown wounded out of their saddles. But three men managed to squeeze their mounts around the wagons at the end of town, shooting sentry Jerry Wilson dead as they made their escape, riding low over their saddle horns back toward the north. One of them had a machete hanging from his belt, bobbing up and down with the motion of his bronc. Men gathered riderless, milling horses and began to line bodies along the boardwalk, shoveling dirt over blood pools in the street. The raiders were laid in one section, fallen townspeople in another. The doctor was busily attending to wounded citizens, ignoring wounded bandits. Smoke and Joey walked over to the buckboard where Cal and Pearly were still lying. Smoke shook his head at the sight of Cal with blood streaming down his neck from his partially shot off ear.
Damn, Pearly, you were right. This boy's plumb lead hungry.
Come on, Joey. Don't you start on me, too.
Smoke saw Pearly on his hands and knees crawling in the wagon.
Pearly, what the hell are you doing?
Well, I'm looking for Cal's ear. Maybe the doc can sew it back on.
Smoke saw two men carrying Tolson out of a building on a makeshift stretcher. He and Joey rushed over to him.
Hey, Ben, how are you doing?
Hell, it's the same damn shoulder I've been hit in 3 times already. Jesus, this makes 4 bullets in the same place.
Now, that much lead in you, it's a wonder you don't lean to the side when you walk.
Seriously, Ben, you did a good job. Murdoch's gang must be pretty well shut down now.
Tolson waved the men carrying his stretcher to stop.
I don't know, Smoke. All the men who got away were wearing masks. We all know it was Murdoch, but I don't know as I can prove it.
I don't need no proof, Sheriff. I saw the machete hanging on the belt of one that got away. So my business here isn't finished yet.
Just give it a few days, Joey, just till I get on my feet again. We'll ride out to Murdoch's together and see what he has to say for himself, all right?
Yeah, I guess I can wait a couple more days. Maybe we can spend the time looking over the ranch you bought.
Damn, I clean forgot about the Williams place and all the excitement. We'll go out tomorrow and take a look at it. Though I doubt we'll be needing it now that Murdoch's finished.
Well, don't go counting him out just yet, Smoke. Cutting a tail off a snake don't always kill it. You gotta get the head to make sure.
A sweating Jacob Murdoch twirled the dial of his office safe as fast as he could. Vasquez stood almost casually behind him, pulling a cork from Murdoch's bourbon. Murdoch took a handful of cash from his safe, counted out 25 bills, and put the rest back in the drawer.
Here is $2,500, Emilio. $500 is for you, the other $2,000 for the men I want you to hire.
Señor, es finito. Give it up. Jensen and Wells beat us. It's time to go to greener pastures.
You don't know who we're dealing with here, do you?
A couple of gringo gunfighters. So, in a few weeks, they will move on and forget Emilio and Jacob.
No, I don't think so. That small one, the one with the southern drawl, that's Joey Wells.
Again, I say, so?
During the Civil War, a group of over 150 men called Kansas Redlegs betrayed and killed Joey's friends. It took him 2.5 years, but he tracked every Kansas Redleg in that group, all 150 of them, and shot them dead, sometimes taking on 3 or 4 at a time.
Emilio es no Redleg.
Tolson told me that a group of Mexican and Indian banditos raided Joey's ranch, stole his cattle, and shot his wife and son. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Emilio?
Me, señor?
Don't bother denying it, Emilio. Why do you think Wells and Jensen showed up here? They certainly weren't after me.
Señor, one question. What makes you trust Emilio with your money? What if I take money and don't come back?
Remember the red legs, Vasquez? Joey Wells will hunt you down and kill you unless you come back here with the meanest guns you can buy. It's your only chance of living long enough to get gray hair.
You are correct, Senor Murdoch. Where will I find these men?
Colorado Springs, I think, is the best bet. It's right on the edge of a mountain range, where men on the run from the law go to hide out. It's only about 40 miles from here. From there, you can wire other nearby towns and have the word put out I'm hiring and paying top wages for men not afraid of Smoke Jensen or Joey Wells. With their reputations, there ought to be plenty of men willing to make their name by taking them down. Tell them they have 1 week to get here, then we'll make our move.
Si, senor.
And Emilio, unless you want to spend the rest of your life looking over your shoulder every time you enter a town, you better get some good men.
It was 3 days before the doctor gave the okay for Tolson to ride out to the Lazy M and confront Murdoch. Smoke, Joey, Cal, and Pearly rode along in case some of Murdoch's regular ranch hands tried to stop the sheriff. On the way to the ranch house, the group could see several herds of beeves in the distance, being tended by punchers on horseback.
Hey, Sheriff, doesn't look much like Murdoch has packed up and left, does it?
You didn't expect it to be that easy, did you?
Murdoch was waiting for him on his front porch as they approached.
Howdy, gents. What can I do for you?
We come to talk to you about the raid on Pueblo a few days ago.
Yeah, I heard about that. Seems some of those Mexican workers I hired went crazy and attacked the town. I certainly hope you killed or captured all of them.
Oh, and you didn't know anything about all this?
Of course not, Sheriff. I'm a law-abiding rancher. One day last week, the men just up and left the ranch without a word to me about where they were going. I thought maybe they just quit and were going looking elsewhere for work. You know how Mexes and half-breeds are.
What about Vasquez? He leave with the others?
No, Mr. Vasquez is on an errand for me. I sent him over to another town to hire some men to replace the Mexicans left.
You know when he'll be back?
I think he'll be here within the next couple of days. Why do you ask?
Oh, I got a few things I want to discuss with him.
Well, I'll be sure and tell him to look you up when he gets back, Wells. Now, if there's nothing further, gentlemen...
We'll be seeing you, Murdoch.
Yeah. Yes, I think you will, Sheriff.
Sheriff, I know Vasquez was in that raid. I recognized him.
That's not good enough, Joey. With those masks on, we'd never prove it was him. Hell, half the Mexes I know carry those machete things when they work.
So what next, Ben?
Damned if I know. Guess we'll just have to wait and see what Murdoch's got up his sleeve. But I can tell you one thing. I'll bet we won't like it one damn bit. What do you gents plan to do?
I'm waiting for Vasquez to get back to town. Once I'm done with him, I guess I'll head back to Texas.
Joey, let's cut to the north on the way back to town and take a look at the ranch I bought.
Okay with me. See you later, Ben.
The Williams spread was only a matter of an hour's ride north of Murdoch's place. As the four men crested a ridge, they could look down over sprawling hills and meadows of lush green mountain grass.
What do you think?
Right pretty, Smoke. Might greener than my place in Mexico. Hell, those old longhorns in my ranch had to walk for miles to find a clump of grass worth the effort it took to eat it.
Let's go check out the ranch house, Smoke. We can see what supplies we need to buy when we get back to town.
Always thinking about your stomach, Pearly.
If I don't, who will?
They rode down the hill toward a log ranch house on the horizon. It was a sprawling place with two large corrals and an open-sided barn nearby. They opened the door and entered.
Open some windows, boys. It's a little musty in here.
Joey stared at the floor. It was made of split hardwood beams, and Mrs. Williams had scrubbed and polished them until it shined.
Hoo-wee, Smoke! It sure beats the hell out of my dirt floor back home.
Smoke nodded, looking at the window curtains and many small things the Williamses had done to make this cabin a home.
It's a shame someone killed him. From the looks of this place, it must have been a happy couple.
Yeah, looks real home-like, don't it?
Pearly emerged from the kitchen with a wide grin on his face.
Pantry's full! We won't have to buy hardly any foodstuffs nor cooking supplies. The owner just packed up and left everything like it was, I guess.
Probably couldn't wait to get shut of this place and the memories of her dead husband. Come on, boys. Let's get back to town. We better get those hands Joey hired out here working the cattle before they all wander off.
Or before someone takes them off.
As the four men rode into Pueblo, one of Tolson's deputies stepped off the boardwalk and waved them down.
Smoke, Sheriff Tolson wants to see you at his office as soon as you can get there.
Something wrong?
I'll let him tell you.
As they dismounted, Tolson stepped through the door to meet him.
More bad news.
What is it, Ben?
Well, it seems Vasquez has been successful in his search for more hired hands for Murdoch. A few of them just rode into town on the way to his place. They're in the saloon. You want to go meet them?
Sure.
Tolson stepped back into his office, grabbed his greener, and joined him as they walked down the boardwalk.
These are some of the worst specimens of humanity I've ever seen. Evidently, Vasquez went over to Colorado Springs, about 40 miles north of here, and spread the word Murdoch was hiring gun hands.
Good. That's one more reason to kill him.
They stepped into the saloon and took a table over to one side. Across the room was a table with five men seated at it, still covered with trail dust, passing around a whiskey bottle. Gunnies were too intent on their booze to notice Smoke's group enter the saloon.
Well, I'll be damned.
You know these galoots, Smoke?
Yeah, you could say that, Ben.
That one on the end there has had a horse stomp on his face for sure. The one in the middle don't look like he could hardly walk. Probably looks more like a duck waddling.
And you notice how that other one kind of sits on the edge of his chair, like his butt's not all there.
I recognize the one dressed all in black with the big silver belt buckle. I knew him a bit back when I was selling my guns. That's Ace Riley. You said he went back east with Nap Jacobs.
He did. Matter of fact, I told him if I ever saw him again, I was going to kill him.
That sounds like there's a story behind you knowing these fellas, Smoke. How about telling it?
Smoke shrugged, his eyes boring holes in Ace's back.
It all started a while back, after a federal judge named Richards issued a phony warrant on me for killing his brother. I had holed up in the High Lonesome, and a passel of bounty hunters and outlaws came up after me. A man named Slater put up $30,000 for anyone who could drill me.
Smoke went on to chronicle the story of his first encounter with the scum at the other table. Telling of how he ruined Taylor's legs in a deadfall trap and left him to fend for his own, and how he put the fear of God into Ace Riley and sent him packing.
And which of them do we have here?
Curly Rogers is the one in the brown vest. Taylor's the one with the gimpy legs. Bud's the one sitting on the side of his chair because I shot his butt off. And Dewey's the one with the ruined face.
And that leaves the one in black, Ace Riley.
Excuse me, man. I got some business to attend to.
Smoke, what are you gonna do?
I told Taylor and Riley if I ever saw them again, I was gonna kill them. That's what I intend to do.
You can't just walk over there and shoot down two men like they was animals.
I gave my word, Ben. Besides, those two are animals, and they're wanted in more states than you can count.
Ben, stay out of it. Smoke is right. He warned them, and they decided to try his hand or they wouldn't be here.
Ben reluctantly let go of Smoke's arm, and the mountain man walked across the room, hands hanging loose. Curly Rogers looked up and saw Smoke Jensen walking toward their table. He nudged Taylor with his elbow.
What?
Taylor turned to Rogers. He saw him staring and followed his gaze, blanching and turning pale. Smoke stood in front of him, feet apart, hands hanging next to his Colts.
Afternoon, gents.
Curly Rogers half stood in his chair.
You got no call to roust us, Jensen. We ain't breaking no laws or nothing.
I'm not rousting you, Rogers. But I do have some unfinished business with these two.
What you mean?
Remember the last time we met?
Yeah. You put some wooden stakes through my legs and ruined them. I can't hardly even walk on them now.
That's not what I meant. Do you remember what I told you as I let you ride off that day?
No, I don't believe I do.
How about you, Ace? You remember?
Yeah. You said you was gonna kill me if you ever saw me again. But you can't do that. I'm just sitting here, peaceably drinking with my partners. Not causing nobody no trouble.
Ace glared defiantly at Smoke, then glanced over at the table where Tolson sat, his badge on his chest.
You, mister,
Are you the sheriff of this town?
Tulsa nodded once, his lips tight.
You gonna sit there and let this gunfighter threaten honest citizens for no reason?
I tell you what I'll do, mister. I'll stop this right here now, and we can mosey on over to my office and go through my wanted posters. And if I don't find any mention of you or your friend, I'll let you ride on out of town.
And if there is something there, you'll put us in jail.
Nah, if you're wanted for anything more than spitting on the street, then I'll just step aside and let my deputy there, Smoke Jensen, do his duty.
But, Sheriff, that's not fair.
Don't worry, men. There's five of us and only one of him. He won't dare start anything with those odds.
Four men from Smoke's table stood and spread out. Joey, Cal, Pearly, and Ben.
I'm Joey Wells, and normally, I don't interfere in another man's business. And if Smoke wants to call them two out, that's his business. However, if any of the rest of you want to enter the dance, well, I guess I'll just strike up the band and dance along.
Now, wait a minute. I don't want no part of this. We just answered a call for work out at the Murdoch place. There's a whole lot of us going out there.
Oh, and who might they be?
There's Horton and Max, Gates and Boots, maybe Gooden.
Same sorry bunch of no-account losers who are too lazy to work and too cowardly to face a man. Backshooters, every one of them.
If you'll back off, we'll just be heading out of town, Jensen.
Keep your seat until this is over. Then you can leave. But if you head out to Murdoch's, I can promise you the same treatment.
Smoke inclined his head toward Taylor and Riley.
One at a time, or both together. Guns, boots, fists, or knives makes no never mind to me, boys. But today, you die. Pick your poison.
I can't fight. I'm a cripple. Look what you've done to my legs.
Your hand is okay. And you're wearing a pistol. Use it, or die where you sit.
Taylor started to get up, but then he tried to draw.
Jesus, I never even saw him draw. It was like the guns just appeared in his hands.
Riley held up his hands, a look of terror on his face. He got up and began backing out of the saloon.
I can't match that, Jensen. I'm getting on my horse, and I'm hightailing out of here.
Smoke holstered his guns. Then he reached into the back of his belt and withdrew a pair of black gloves with pads over the knuckles.
No need to leave Pueblo so soon, Ace. You knew I was here when you came, so you must have wanted to dance. Well, let's do it.
No! Leave me alone, you devil!
Devil! I like that.
Rogers, Bud, and Dewey were watching silently from their chairs.
You men are free to leave, but remember what I said. If you go to work for Murdoch, spend your money fast. You won't live to enjoy it.
You can't tell us who to work for, Jensen. It's a free country.
You're right, Curly. It is a free country. And you're free to choose to live or to die. I say this to each of you. If I ever see you again and you're wearing guns, I will shoot you down on sight. Do I make myself clear?
The men nodded, got up, and left the saloon. Out the window, Smoke watched the group mount up. Bud rode south out of town. Curly and Dewey rode north toward Murdoch's ranch.
Well, I guess we'll be seeing them again.
I wonder how many of my old enemies Murdoch's hired.
Well, if he's managed to find some of mine, too, there ought to be a passel of folks out there planning how to take us down. That's the price of leading an interesting life, partner.
If Murdoch puts the word out that he'll pay whoever puts a lead in you two, we may be seeing a lot of this sort of varmint coming to town. Wonder if I might not ought to start watching the train and stage arrivals.
Wouldn't hurt to put a couple of men on that, Ben. At least then we'd have some idea of what we're going to be up against in the next few weeks. I sure wish he would have given up his idea of treeing this town and starting his own empire here in Colorado. This area is getting too civilized for that sort of thinking nowadays.
Not all that civilized when you stop to think I'm the only law up against him now. The U.S. Marshals won't come unless I ask for them, and if I do, well, then he'd just lay low and wait for him to leave again. This country is just too blame big to police on a day-to-day basis from the territorial capital.
Oh, you haven't done so bad, Ben. I think the people of Pueblo ought to be proud of how you stood up to that snake. That took a lot of courage.
I got no shortage of courage, but we may have a shortage of guns if Murdoch lures a bunch of hard cases up here to do his dirty work for him. You men are about the best with short guns I ever seen, but all told, we're only 10 or 15 men. I don't relish going up against 30 or 40 gun hawks by ourselves.
Can't be helped, Ben. We can't ask the townspeople to take a hand in this unless they ride on the town itself again. And I don't think Murdoch is dumb enough to try that again.
Nah, I figure he and his men will try to hit us out at the ranch where we won't have no backup. He'll either try to pick us off one by one, or he'll just come at us one night with lots of guns blazing, hoping to get us pinned down in the ranch house.
Joey's right, Smoke. You ain't got a lot of cover out there. You're gonna be sitting ducks for Murdoch's men.
Well, I have a few ideas about how to fix that. Come on, boys. Let's go out to our spread and see what we can do to even up the odds a little.
Low, dark snow clouds covered the sun, accentuating the chill in the north wind blowing down from mountain peaks surrounding Pueblo. Smoke, Joey, Cal, and Pearly were riding the pastures and fields of the Williams Ranch, now known in town as the Jensen Spread.
Smoke, even though this is mighty pretty land, lots of grays and a good-looking herd of beeves, I think you paid a mite too much for it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But over the years since I've settled down with Sally, a lot of gun hawks have tried my hand looking to make a quick reputation. Turns out a goodly number of those were wanted men with prices on their heads. Every time we planted one of those pistoliers, Monte Carson would wire the governor's office and the money just sort of poured in. Though I never killed a man for the reward, it seems kind of fitting to use that money for something worthwhile. And right now, I can't think of anything more worthwhile than to put a crimp in Murdoch's plan of building an empire in Colorado.
I can't hardly argue with that. I like it up here, Smoke. The view sometimes gets kind of boring in Texas. All those longhorns will surely try a man's soul.
Thinking about maybe staying up here when this is all over?
This is a good and decent country. Most of the people that come out here are good folks like you and Sally and Cal and Pearly. Once we've rid this territory of that skunk Murdoch, I may just bring the wife and boy up here and see what they think.
Oh, I think they'll feel like you do. This land needs people like you and your family, Joey. And I hope they can get to see it with you.
Cal and Pearly, who had been riding on ahead, came galloping back to him.
Smoke! I think we found what you're looking for!
Smoke and Joey followed the two younger men as they rode over a nearby hillock into a valley. The river running through the ranch had eroded down into the dirt to create a small canyon carved out of underlying sandstone. The canyon walls were about 20 feet deep and made a sharp bend around a series of boulders left by an ancient glacier. Smoke rode horse to a ledge overlooking the course of the river, noticing how it emerged from a wide, flat valley before it entered the canyon.
You're right, Pearly. This is perfect.
Smoke pointed at the boulders near the bend in the river.
If we dynamite those rocks there into the canyon, they'll block the water and back it up into the valley over there.
And from the lay of the land, by the time the river fills the valley and starts to overflow, looks like he'll run down that slope over yonder and miss Murdoch's ranch off to the west. When we cut his water off, his beeves are gonna get mighty thirsty.
If anything will force his hand, that will. I don't want him to be able to sit around and just wait for his men to pick us off little by little. Stopping the river means every day he waits, he loses more cattle.
We better make sure we're good and ready for him before we do it then.
Pearly, I want you and Cal to ride over to the west and check out the ranches downstream from us. Talk to the owners and see if they mind if we divert the river to run through their land, but tell them to keep it under their hats. No need giving Murdoch any advance warning of what we're up to.
Yes, sir.
Smoke pulled a burlap sack out of his saddlebags and handed it to Pearly. He leaned in close.
There's something else I want for you to do for me while you're riding around.
When Smoke finished telling Pearly what he wanted, Pearly and Cal wheeled their mounts to leave.
Remember what Vasquez said to me the other day? Cuidado, partners, cuidado.
Once they finished inspecting the herd, Joey and Smoke headed for the ranch house. There were 20 cowboys seated on the porch and in the front yard waiting for them. After Joey fixed several pots of coffee and passed out mugs to the punchers, Smoke stood on the porch in front of the group.
Men, I know some of you owned your own spreads, and some of you rode for other brands that were taken over by Jacob Murdoch. I suspect that all of you know that Murdoch and his gunnies aren't happy about me buying the Williams Ranch.
You're right, Mr. Jensen. You put a burr under that bastard's saddle, and that's for sure.
Yeah, I did. Now what that means, though, is that Murdoch isn't going to take this lying down. He's hired more hard cases to replace those we killed in town. And I expect him to send his gun hawks around to try and run us off this spread. Now that means gunplay is more than likely. It's inevitable.
Let him come. We'll be ready.
I know you men are game, or you wouldn't be here. But Murdoch's banditos and new hires are experienced gunmen and outlaws. Murderers all. And most of you have never shot at another man in anger. Now here's my plan. My partner, Joey Wells, is going to work with each and every one of you to determine who is good enough with a gun to stand against Murdoch's killers. Those who are experienced with shotguns and rifles will undergo further training by Joey and myself, and will be used as perimeter guards and sentries. As most of you know, Joey has had a little experience fighting against and defeating forces far superior in number and in firepower. The other men will be given shotguns to carry for protection, but will be used primarily to run the ranch and take care of the herd. Make no mistake about it, boys. This is dangerous business. Some of us are going to take lead, and some of us are going to die.
Smoke looked around at the men then, liking what he saw. None appeared daunted by the prospect of giving their lives to rid Colorado of Jacob Murdoch and his henchmen.
For that reason, I've decided that every man who signs to ride for my brand will be made a partner, be given an equal share in the ranch, and will draw double wages until their operation shows a profit.
You men with wives and youngins don't need to worry neither. If worse comes to worse and you don't make it through this dust-up, your families will be taken care of, and get your share of the ranch.
Smoke held up a paper.
Now, if you men will step up here and sign or make your mark, you'll be full partners in the Rockin' Sea Ranch, named in honor of Mr. Colt, who's gonna help us make Murdoch and his men wish he'd stayed in Texas and never set foot in Colorado.
2 days passed without Smoke and his friends hearing or seeing anything of Murdoch or his new hands. Joey had been working from dusk to dawn with Smoke's new hired hands to see if any showed an aptitude for using gunplay.
Smoke, we may have bitten off more than we can chew.
Smoke refilled Joey's cup of coffee and sat at the kitchen table with him.
Not bad, huh?
You know, partner, I've been living with these Colts strapped on so long they're like a part of me. Shooting and killing just seemed to come naturally to me, like it was born in me to be what I am.
Yeah. I know the feeling, Joey. I started young, too.
I've been working with these cowboys for 2 days now, and I'm not too hopeful they'll be too much use when the going gets rough. Now, don't get me wrong. These all game as banty roosters, and they ain't feared of nothing, but I'm afraid these boys are going to get themselves killed. Now, these all good punchers, and can all sit a hoss and wrangle beeves like they was born to it. But can't be one or two hit a target with a shotgun from more than 20 feet away. Another two or three are all right with a long gun as long as they got time to get set and take aim. Of course, that's when they ain't got hot lead buzzing over their heads. In a pitched battle,
Joey shrugged his shoulders and stared down into his cup.
Maybe this wasn't such a good idea I had. I sure don't want the blood of these boys on my hands.
Cal came bursting in the door, pistol in his hand.
Smoke! Joey! We got riders coming!
Smoke and Joey grabbed iron and ran out the door. In the distance, four riders rode at a leisurely pace toward the ranch house.
Murdoch must not think too much of us to send just four hombres to call.
That doesn't seem likely.
Smoke reached inside the door and grabbed his binoculars and raised them to his eyes.
Well, I'll be damned. Like the parson always says, the good Lord will provide.
When the men rode up, Pearlie slapped Cal on the shoulder.
Old Murdoch better watch his ass now. We got reinforcements.
Louis Longmont and his cook, Andre, were accompanied by Sheriff Monte Carson and the old mountain man, Puma Buck. Andre was leading a pack horse with two huge boxes strapped to its side.
Puma here came to town for supplies. And I told him what you were doing. He said he had too many years invested in teaching you how to be a mountain man to let you come up here and be killed by flatlanders.
That's right, boy. I promised Preacher I'd watch your topknot, and I intend to keep my word.
When he said he planned to come up here and assist you in your endeavor, I decided it was time I took a vacation. Besides, I've been neglecting my firearm practice, and a man in my profession cannot afford to get rusty.
And Andre?
Monsieur, food poisoning and malnutrition will kill as surely as a bullet. I am here to make sure that you are fed properly. I purchased ample supplies in town so we may eat as God intended man to.
Without another word, Andre went into the house to inspect the kitchen facilities. He emerged a moment later, a look of absolute disgust on his face as he emptied a pot of thick black coffee into the dirt.
Oh, Milt! It is worse than I suspected. You gentlemen will soon have coffee fit to drink.
Andre motioned for Cal and Pearlie to bring in his supplies, and then he turned back into the kitchen.
What about you, Monty? Who's minding the store?
I figured it was time for Jim to take on some additional responsibility. When Ben Tolson wired me about your plans, about how you were outnumbered 3-1, and how Murdoch was sending all over the country for hard men to come try your hand, I thought it was time I paid my old riding partner a visit. May have been a few years, but I ain't forgotten how you helped me out when I needed it.
How'd you all get here so soon?
We rode on that infernal iron horse going quicker than God ever intended man to go. I tell you what, son, that's the first time this old beaver's been scared in 20 years.
When was the last time you was scared, Mr. Puma?
Back in winter of 53 when an engine squaw told me she was going to move into Moline 2 permanent.
Andre stuck his head out the door.
Gentlemen, coffee is served.
The group soon sat around a large dining room table and helped themselves to mugs of Andre's dark, rich coffee. Puma Buck took a tentative sip. Andre glared at the old mountain man.
Oh, you do not approve of my coffee, monsieur?
Oh, it tastes just fine, Mr. Andre. Right flavorful.
And the coffee is excellent, Andre. It's just that, Puma's used to mountain man coffee. It's a mite, thicker.
Ah, like my old friend Preacher used to say, secret to good cafecito is it don't take near as much water as you think it do.
When a mountain man's through drinking his coffee, he uses what's left over to paint the side of his lean-to. It fills the chinks and keeps the wind from whistling through the cracks.
It does get my chill up in the high lonesome, boys. Why, just last winter, another old mountain man, Dupree, he and I was sitting around the fire after a blizzard blew through, and it was so cold we had to thaw our words out in a skillet before we could hear what we were saying.
Jiminy.
Yeah, it was so cold that winter, our piss froze before it hit the ground. We had yeller icicles all around camp till spring thaw.
After a few more stories of mountain lore, the men got serious.
Thanks to our friends from Big Rock, the odds against us are a little better. But we're still sitting ducks out here in the open. Now, here's what I plan to do to even the odds a little more.